Most of you will no doubt be aware of the decision by the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland to sustain the call of a practicing homosexual to the Queen's Cross congregation in Aberdeen. Last evening, the General Assembly voted 326 votes to 267 to reject the dissent and the complaint against the Presbytery of Aberdeen. And in doing so, in making that vote, they gave their approval for the induction to go ahead. Now, the Assembly has still to debate a motion tomorrow, a motion that states that this church shall not accept for training, ordain, admit, readmit, induct, or introduce to any ministry of the church anyone involved in a sexual relationship outside of marriage between a man and a woman. They did not have time to debate that last evening, and so it has been put off until tomorrow morning, and we shall await the outcome. But given the decision that was taken last night, it would be no surprise if they did not uphold that overture. But the fact that they have upheld the call of a man who is a professed homosexual sends forth and proclaims a very grave and serious message across the nation tonight. It is, of course, no surprise, because this decision is not something that has been arrived at overnight. It's the result of a long period of time, a long period in which there has been a gradual erosion of biblical conviction and biblical truth in the national church. But although it is no surprise, it does proclaim a solemn message that we all must take heed to and assess very carefully. Such a time as this is no novel experience to the church and the cause of Jesus Christ. Throughout history, very dark seasons have descended upon the church, and religious apostasy has gained rapid advance. Elijah's day was no different from our day. Elijah observed a great departure from God and from His truth. He watched as the worship of Baal and the introduction of idols was multiplied throughout the land of Israel, and he beheld as the cause of Jehovah entered into a period of very deep declension. It was a time when false religion was popular. Did you notice when he called the prophets of Baal and told them to prepare their sacrifice that he said in verse 25, "For ye are many." False religion was popular, as evidenced by the number of Baal's prophets. There were 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the grove. False religion had multiplied. It had gained the ascendancy. It was popular. And the cause of the Lord was unpopular. The cause of God was treated with contempt. It was treated with hostility. God's servants were forced into hiding. And in fact, on this occasion, Elijah's brought out of hiding. The Lord had told him that he was to go and hide himself by the brook Cherith. He was forced into hiding. And in the early part of this chapter, we read about those prophets who had been hid in caves in order to evade the persecuting zeal of King Ahab. It was a time when false religion abounded, when idolatry was escalated in the land, and the cause of God was brought under sustained contempt and sustained hostility. The servants of the Lord had to go into hiding. To identify with Jehovah, with the God of heaven, was equivalent to putting one's life in jeopardy. A cruel spirit of persecution had spread across the land, and it was not safe. It was not safe to identify with the Lord. Such was the extent of that persecution. But in addition to that condition, or in addition to that situation, the judgment of God was upon the land. God had sent a drought that had a devastating effect upon the economy and the people's livelihood. God had said that there would be no dew nor rain in answer to Elijah's prayer. And God's judgment was upon the nation. And that judgment touched the economy and it touched the livelihood of the people. Whenever apostasy enters a nation, it will always bring the judgment of God. And that judgment will touch people where it hurts them most. In the midst of it all, Elijah saw very clearly three particular camps that had arisen. There was the camp of the Lord, those who were on the side of Jehovah, those who were on the Lord's side. Then there was the camp of Baal, those who had embraced heathen paganism, heathen idolatry, and were standing by the worship of Baal. But then Elijah saw, in the midst of this situation, he saw a third camp. And that camp consisted of people who were indecisive. Verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? There were two camps, the Lord's camp and Baal's camp, true religion and false religion. And in between there were a people in the valley of decision, a people who were indecisive, a people who were halting between these two opinions. And that's something that we should always keep in mind. When apostasy settles in the land, when there is the embracing of false religion and a departure from the Word of God, there will always be uncertainty and indecision because apostasy pours doubt upon the Word of God. It was this camp of indecisives, men and women who were indecisive, whom Elijah addressed on this particular occasion. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. His challenge is applicable today in light of what has taken place in recent days. It's a challenge to make a decision. A challenge either to side with the Lord or to side with that which is against the Lord. And everywhere that you go throughout the Bible, you will always find this clear-cut choice that confronts men. There is no neutrality. There is no middle ground. The Lord Jesus said, men are either for me or they are against me. How long halt ye between two opinions? That's the question that is asked tonight. In our nation, it's the question that confronts the National Kirk. It's the question that confronts every believer inside the National Kirk. How long halt ye between two opinions? I want us to consider this choice, this challenge to decide that Elijah made to the people. And he saw very clearly, as he made this challenge, he saw very clearly what the nature of it was. In the first place, Elijah recognized that this was a choice between the Word of God and the Word of man. How long halt ye between two opinions? And those two opinions were very clearly identified. On one hand, there was the Word of God, the God of heaven, Jehovah. And on the other hand, the opinions of men. The words and the opinions of men. Elijah is saying to this people, you must choose whether to follow God's word or the opinions of men. He saw it very clearly. It had been taking place over a long period of time, a long process of time in the land of Israel. During that time, there had been a gradual departure from the written word of God, from the Bible. And God's word had been opposed. God's word had been rejected over a long period of time. What he was facing on that occasion with the assembly of the prophets of Baal had not happened overnight. It was the result of at least 60 years departure from the word of God. If you go back to chapter 12 of Kings, 1 Kings, to the time when the kingdom was divided after the death of King Solomon, and the northern kingdom split away from the south and was headed up by a man called Jeroboam. Chapter 12 of 1 Kings and verse 28 tells us concerning Jeroboam, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. He's introducing two idols, two golden calves. And he places one in Bethel and then one in Dan, away up in the northern part, because he does not want the people to go down to the house of God in Jerusalem, fearing that in doing so they would turn again to the son of Solomon, they would turn to Rehoboam and reject him, reject King Jeroboam. And so he sets up these two golden calves. Now right away you see a departure from the word of God. They often say that history repeats itself, and the people who do not know their history are often destined to repeat that history. You remember at Mount Sinai, when Moses was absent up on the mount, the people grew restless and tired, impatient, and they said to Aaron, up, make us gods. And Aaron made the golden calf. And now Jeroboam is repeating that. But what he is doing is to depart from the word of God. God said in his word, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The word of God was clear, the written word. God wrote it down on the tables of stone. It was absolutely clear. But here there is a turning away from the word of God, and the setting up of an alternative altar, and the introducing of ways that were clearly forbidden in God's word. If you come down the chapter to the verse number 33, he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. I want you to see this. This departure from the written word of God was based on the replacing of God's word with the opinions of men. Verse 28, whereupon the king took counsel. He did not take counsel from God. He was not seeking counsel from the Lord. This was the counsel of men, the opinions of men. And now he's following that counsel, he's following that opinion, and he's acting in a way that is contrary to the word of God. As the time progressed, you come to chapter 16. And when there's a departure from the word of God, you will find that there is always a progression in that departure. Never ends up as was first intended. That departure always goes further than what was first intended. When you come to 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 30, you come to the reign of Ahab. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. You see the progression in wickedness and in evil. 60 years later. You see, at first it was just the bringing in of golden calves, but as the time passed, eventually it was the bringing in of the worship of Baal. And the bringing in of the prophets of Baal that belonged to the surrounding nations and tribes. Do you see what's happening here? There was a departure from the Word of God, a choice towards man's opinions. And when they chose the opinions of men and rejected the Word of the Lord, they went further and further away from God. And they brought in those things that were clearly forbidden. And now Elijah comes on the scene and he says to this people, he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? He sees it very clearly. There's no vagueness, there's no ambiguity in Elijah. He's not dim concerning what the issue is. He says the issue is clear. There's only two opinions. It's the Word of God or the Word of man. And you've got to choose what you're going to follow. Will you follow God's word, or will you follow man's opinions? And that's the very same choice that faces us tonight. The very same situation that men face. If we take it in context of what's happening in the land, that's what the decision is, that's what the choice is. Will you follow God's word? Or will you follow the opinions of men? What does God's word say about sodomy and homosexuality? God says it's an abomination. Will you follow God's word, or will you follow the opinions of men? They're coming along today and they're saying, but you know, this has changed. A lady by the name of Muriel Armstrong, the editor of the magazine Life and Work, the Church of Scotland magazine, wrote an article a few weeks ago in which she was trying to justify this. And she was saying, but you know, things have changed. We don't believe the Old Testament now. And this homosexuality, it's not condemned in the Gospels. And after all, we don't stone adulterers anymore. The great chapter they like to quote is John chapter 8, when they brought the woman who was taken in adultery. And the Lord said, where are thine accusers? Let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And they use that and they say, there you are, there's a change, you know, between the old and the new. And what they don't realize is that the Lord was abiding by the old. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10, the law of God said that both of them would be stoned to death, both the man and the woman, both of them taken in adultery. But you see, that only brought the woman. And so the law had not been complied with, and that is why Christ did not pursue the matter of stoning. They were shielding the man. But that is completely different from what is taking place. That has to do with the punishment of sin, but what they are trying to do is change the definition of sin. And God says it's a sin. And it's a sin in the Old Testament days just as much as it's a sin today. And vice versa. And the issue is clear. Will you follow the Word of God, or will you follow the opinions of man? That's the issue. God's word or the opinions of man? That's the challenge. That's the decision on every issue. The issue that faces many of the evangelicals, when I say many, I need to qualify that because they were in the minority. But the evangelicals in the Church of Scotland are now faced with this issue. Will you follow the Word of God, or will you follow the opinions of men? What does God's Word say? God's Word says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. They should not be in fellowship. That's the Word of God. That's God's Word. And the choice tonight is this. Will you follow God's Word? Or will you follow the opinions of man? It's the choice that comes to every individual in life. We all have a choice to make in our life. What way will we live? Will we live by the word of God? Or will we live by the opinions of men? By our own opinion, our own thoughts? It's a choice that comes to every single sinner tonight in this world. How long halt ye between two opinions? Will you follow God's word? Or will you follow the opinions of men? That's the choice. But not only was it a choice between the word of God and the word of men, it was a choice between righteousness and sin. How long halt ye between two opinions? The departure from the word of God and its teaching in the days of Elijah opened the doors for a flood of iniquity and sinful living. Look at this chapter 18 again. And in the verse 18, when Elijah appears before Ahab, Ahab says to him in verse 17, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." I want you to notice here that the embracing of false religion opened the door for immoral living. Elijah says to this man, "You've forsaken the commandments of the Lord." And once one commandment goes, it's not long before all the rest of them follow. And isn't it interesting the order that God set in the commandments? He deals with worship first. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." He deals with worship first. And then he comes to our relationships with fellow men, with others. And what the Lord is doing in that order is to show us that when we turn away from his worship, when we reject his word, his truth, his doctrine, it's not long until our behavior is characterized by sinfulness and wickedness. That's what happened here. Look at chapter 16 and verse 31. Chapter 16 and verse 31. "Concerning Ahab, and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him." Sin became a light thing in the eyes of Ahab. A light thing. He didn't really give it any thought, what he was doing. It became a light thing. God's commandments are great restraints which fence men into the paths of righteousness. But Ahab was busy breaking down those fences and taking away those restraints. And it was a light thing to him. If you turn back to chapter 12 again, I want you to notice this great reversal. Chapter 12 and verse 31. "Concerning Jeroboam, when he set up these two golden calves." We read there in verse 31, "And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi." I want you to notice that the low was made high. The lowest of the people. What's he talking about? He's talking about those people whose lifestyle was wicked and corrupt in the sight of God. And when there had been a turning away from God's word and an embracing of false religion, the result of that was that that which was lowly esteem, which God loathed, it was elevated. It was honored. It was made high in the estimation of the people. That which was high was made low. And that which was low was made high. And that's exactly what's happening tonight with this decision to uphold the call of a man who openly professes to be a homosexual. That which is low in the sight of God is being esteemed high in the sight of men. Sin and wickedness came flooding in. The Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, what we believe governs how we behave. Our behavior is affected by what we believe. Evil communication, false teaching, false doctrine corrupts good manners, corrupts good living. And now Elijah sees the situation. He sees this. Not only was it a choice between the word of God and the word of men, but it was a choice between righteousness and sin. Now he says, you must choose. You must choose between what is right and what is wrong. You must choose between that which is righteous and that which is sinful. You see, false religion comes along and it lifts the restraints and it says to men, you are your own gods. You can determine whatever you want to do. You can live as you please. There's no restraint. True religion says God is the absolute authority and he determines what is right and what is wrong and he sets restraints in our way that we must live by. And now you must choose. How long halt ye between two opinions? Will you follow the paths of righteousness or will you follow the paths of sin? That's the choice that's facing the Church of Scotland tonight. Will you choose righteousness, which exalts a nation, or will you choose sin that is a reproach to any people? That's the choice that faces every individual. Will you choose righteousness and choose to live by God's way, with God's grace and God's help and God's power? Or will you choose the way of sin? How long halt ye between two opinions? A choice between the word of God and the word of man. A choice between righteousness and sin. But it was also a choice between life and death. Between salvation and death. Elijah's really pressing this issue home upon their conscience. Because he saw it as an issue of life and death. If they persisted in their worship of Baal, if they persisted in their sinful lifestyle, disregarding the commandments of God, he knew they would perish. Their way was false, and it would only end in judgment, and already the judgment of God was on the land in a measure. And if they continued in that way, they would face the judgment of God. And that's exactly what happened to the prophets of Baal. Verse 40, we didn't read it tonight, but verse 40 says, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Their way ended in death. It ended in death. And realizing this, he faces them with the choice of the altar. He said, build an altar and I will build an altar. And put a sacrifice, put an offering on the altar. And I will put an offering on the altar. And the God that answers by fire, let him be the God. Let him be the God. What was Elijah doing? Elijah was reminding them that this altar signified the way of approach to God and the basis of a sinner's acceptance by God. be saying to this people, now this is an issue of life and death. If you carry on in this way, it'll bring judgment, eternal perdition. But I'm setting before you the way of life. And the way of life is represented in this altar. But you have chosen another way of salvation. The way of Baal, and now he's exposing it. Baal's altar represented man's opinion. And Elijah says, here's your opportunity. Let's see if it's true. Let's see if it's real. Bring the sacrifice. Call upon your God. And let's see who will answer by fire. And they cried and they called and they danced and they cut themselves until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no answer. And Elijah came and he built up, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He laid the bullock in pieces on the altar. And then he told them to fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And this they did 3 times. And Elijah called on God, and God answered by fire. And the fire came and consumed the altar and the stones and the wood and the water that was round about it. Elijah was saying, this is the way of approach to God. This is the way of acceptance with God. But if you persist in your way, it will bring death. It'll bring judgment. It'll bring perdition. Elijah's altar signified the divinely appointed way. The fire from heaven was the evidence of divine approval. And that altar was typifying the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work that he would accomplish upon the cross. God set the seal upon it. And Elijah was then saying to them, you must choose tonight. You must choose this night. Whether you will take God's salvation, here typified in the sacrificial lamb, representing Christ, you must choose tonight whether you will receive God's lamb, God's sacrifice, God's atonement, or whether you will choose your own way and perish. It was a choice between life and death. Worthy of our consideration tonight that verse 30 tells us he had to repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It had been disused, been forsaken. And that always happens when apostasy is in the land. The altar of the Lord is forsaken. The message of the atonement, the message of the sacrifice of Christ and his atoning blood becomes a despised message. But Elijah was emphasizing here that even though it was despised, it was still the only way of salvation for sinners. It was the only way of acceptance before God. And a sinner must come and trust in that finished work and in that blood atonement for his soul. How long halt ye between 2 opinions? A question, a challenge that was issued in a time of great apostasy. That challenge is just as much relevant and applicable tonight. Apostasy brings indecision, indecisiveness, uncertainty, doubt. But do you see how certain true religion is? Elijah comes and he says, you've got to make a choice between 2 opinions. The word of God or the word of man. A choice between righteousness and sin. A choice between life and death. And that life is found in the sacrifice that God has provided in His Son. Death is embraced when men reject the cross and despise Christ. How long hold ye between two opinions? Is it the case tonight that one has been holding where these people were holding? Holding between two opinions. You've got to close with Christ. You've got to side with Christ. You've got to identify with Him and with the Word of God and with the way of righteousness. That's the challenge that comes to each and every one of us. In these days of apostasy and spiritual declension, may the Lord help us to choose the Lord and to follow Him with all our heart and to side with Christ. Let's turn to 290.